Hey guys, welcome back to the Social Media Fitness Podcast. This is episode 5 and today I'm joined by Charlie O'Halloran. Have I said your last name right?
Yeah, Charlie.
How are you? Charlie is a holistic health coach as well, specializing in gut health and working with clients with the gut. So Charlie, can you introduce us? Who are you? How did you get to where you are now? And how are you?
Yeah, well, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
I suppose, yeah, I'm a holistic health coach. That's about right. Like, it's hard to kind of put a specific name on it, but I guess I was a personal trainer for, like, I started off as a personal trainer when I lived in Melbourne. I was a personal trainer for 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and which I loved. I loved working in the gym and helping clients with their fitness. But I always had a dream when I was doing it. I always wanted to travel more. So I always had in my head, like, I wanted to go, especially to Asia, and kind of work online. And then last year, my partner got a job in Bali. So that kind of pushed me. Like, I was like, yeah, for sure, I'm in. Like, and took my business online, which
nice.
Turned out to be good timing with COVID.
Yeah.
And yeah, started to build up my, like, I guess my the online side of things, which was really cool because I actually found that people were getting better results, especially throughout COVID, because it was a lot more of an independent approach in the way that, instead of me just counting their reps, them rocking up to their workouts every hour and only doing workouts, like an hour a week, they were kind of doing it their own, they're on their own, and I was guiding them through more of a holistic approach. And that's why I was like, oh, cool, I can now help people with, like, nutrition, and I can help people as well as exercise and, like, the mindset side of things as well. So clients started to get better results.
Yeah.
But sorry about the long-winded answer.
It's okay.
But then at the same time, so just before I went to Bali at the end of 2019, the start of 2020, when I was just finishing up with PT, my personal health was at its absolute worst. Like, yes, I was a personal trainer. Yeah, I thought I was eating really well. I was training hard. I was in pretty good shape. Like, definitely,
mm-hmm.
Look, on the outside, you would think, you know, I was the picture of health.
Yeah.
But I felt terrible. I felt like I had really bad anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
My moods were all over the place. My energy was non-existent.
Yeah.
My sleep was terrible, broken. Borderline insomnia. And then I was getting heart palpitations, and that's what was really pushed me to end up going to the doctor.
Wow.
And the doctor's like, look at your bloods. Like, they're the best in town. Everything's normal. They're perfect. And I was like, well, I don't feel perfect. Like,
yeah.
And then, they're like, well, you know, this could be, it could just be anxiety. It could just be in your head. And I thought, well, maybe, and it did mess with me for a while. I thought,
mm-hmm.
maybe I am a hypochondriac. But I wanted to dig deeper. And that's actually when I found out about, one of my first mentors, Dave O'Brien. And like, we kind of did a blood analysis, and he kind of showed me what was going on in my gut.
Wow.
And my gut was in a pretty bad place. Like, I had, like, I think we're going to talk about this a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
I had SIBO. And I also had, like, severe intestinal permeability, so leaky gut.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a bit of a reality check, because that was kind of my first introduction to, like, optimal ranges and normal ranges with the blood and, like, I guess, holistic approach. It kind of started to move me away from fitness, which had always been, like, you know, lift heavy weights, eat your calories, eat your macros, sleep 8 hours. But then Dave showed me more of a holistic way of kind of looking at it and working with my body. And so all last year, I was like, yeah, all last year I was working on my gut when I was in Bali. So that's kind of when, and then I just saw the insane changes in my health, which, like, and the impact that it was having on me, like,
yeah.
in every single aspect of my life. And I just felt like, I thought I was healthy. I just thought, you know, there was something wrong with me. But then,
mm-hmm.
like, as I did this work on my gut and on my mind too, like, I started to feel a lot better. And that's when I guess I was inspired to start learning about this kind of stuff myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the natural progression of that was to start helping my clients. Like, I started to dig in a little bit deeper into this stuff. And now that's kind of led me to where I am now. Like, I guess, just going through my own experiences, and now I guess I just attract more people when it comes to gut health. Like, my heart still is with fitness. I still love weight training. I still, you know, but I guess it was just a missing key for me, and so many other people struggle with it too. And I guess that's what kind of brought me to here. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's really cool to, like, I think a lot of us coaches that have kind of ventured into the holistic side of things have kind of had our own experiences with health, and you don't really mean to fall into it. Like, I think one of the podcast episodes I was saying, like, I was exactly the same, like working in a gym because I wanted to like train people and help them with their fitness and stuff like that. But you kind of start off like that and then end up finding something that you kind of go down into that you enjoy, or maybe something your own experience. Like, I won't talk about mine too much because I've already done that on a podcast episode one, but I had hypothalamic amenorrhea for 2 years, and that's kind of led me into why I love the women's health area now. And like you said, you were like the picture of health. I was the exact same. Like, I had a six pack, I would train all the time. I got mistaken for being fit when I was actually like far from healthy. And the most amount of kind of compliments on my body or my fit, like my fit life or whatever, was actually when I was the most unhealthy. And it's just really interesting that you can look the part, you can look like you're a super fit person, but actually internally there could be a lot going on. And this is something I often say. It's like, this is why we can't look at people on Instagram and how good they look, because you have no idea like what their internal body is like. And it's just like, my main point of that is with women who probably don't have periods because they're so shredded, whereas we're looking at that as being a normal body composition. And that's probably something we're going to delve into today anyway, because obviously both coming from fitness background, going into the holistic side. So we're going to talk all about that. And obviously you'll probably bring in your own sort of health recovery and stuff like that with your gut into it too. So let's go into, first of all, I know there's a lot of gut sort of words, and I know that I've seen it on Instagram a lot more, and I think people are kind of like learning more about the words but not the differences between them. So we spoke about SIBO and leaky gut intestinal permeability briefly with your own journey. What's the kind of difference between sort of like SIBO, leaky gut, and then we've also got kind of another common one, which is like candida yeast overgrowth. What are the main differences between them? Because sometimes they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the most important thing to be aware of, and something I see really commonly with clients is like a crossover of two or even three.
Yeah.
So there is differentiations, but a lot of the time there will be a combination of them, especially with like leaky gut. Yeah, because leaky gut, it's a little bit of like a chicken before the egg situation a lot of the time, where like, you know, so we'll just use the word leaky gut because it's a little bit easier to say than intestinal permeability. Yeah. Basically, that leaky gut is just a simplified name for intestinal permeability.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a leaky gut, like, that's going to make you more susceptible to like a bacterial overgrowth or a yeast overgrowth. So when I say like bacterial overgrowth, that could be SIBO. You can also, like, it doesn't always have to be SIBO, but generally that's going to be like what we'd call dysbiosis, which is when you're going to have either an overgrowth of like basically pathogenic bacteria in the gut, or you can have like just not enough. There's all the wrong types of bacteria in the gut as well.
Yeah.
So you can have like leaky gut can make you more susceptible to that, but those can also, SIBO or bacterial overgrowth or yeast overgrowth, they can damage the gut lining too and make your gut more permeable, yeah, so more likely to have a leaky gut. So it's very common to see them cross over.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the main differences you'll see will be like the symptoms. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way for someone to like kind of think about at home if they're trying to figure out whether or not they have gut issues, because I think that's another thing that we skim over. Like, I actually, like, going back to my own story, I actually don't know what kind of drew me to Dave and thinking that there was something wrong with my gut, because, like, realistically, I didn't have that bad a gut symptom, like, digestive symptoms.
Yeah.
I did get bloating, but I thought it was normal. Mm-hmm. Like, I was literally, there's photos of me, like, my gut looks pregnant, yeah? And like, I just thought that was just part of eating.
Yeah.
And I had the worst gas too. Like, you can ask my girlfriend, like, I couldn't, like, you know, it was bad.
Yeah.
Which not a problem anymore, which is cool. But, I guess the symptoms you kind of want to look for, like for leaky gut, and this is the first thing that I noticed when I started to heal my gut is like the brain fog. Like, I would be so dependent on like caffeine, or like, I'd even tried out other stuff like nicotine and modafinil to try and get my brain to just work properly.
Yeah.
And when I started to heal my gut, it was crazy. I just felt like I could just focus so much better.
Yeah.
The brain fog is a common one with leaky gut. Then you also can get like, I guess, like, and then there's the crossover between a lot of the symptoms as well. So like, for example, yeast overgrowth. So candida is a type of yeast.
Yeah.
So there can be, there's a lot of different types of candida, it's not always going to be candida.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be like small intestine and it can be large intestine.
Yeah.
Like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, more common in, that is in the small intestine, but it can be in the large intestine as well.
Yeah.
So you can get like anxiety. Like candida would commonly cause anxiety. Yeah. So leaky gut can also kind of drive that as well with nutrient deficiencies and stuff like that. So I guess the biggest difference is just like the type.
Yeah.
Because it's just really come down to like what's going on.
Yeah,
exactly. And the symptoms. So like if we talk about like clear cut symptoms for candida, it would be like anxiety. You know, it'd also be like poor concentration, sugar cravings, the white coating on your tongue, itchy scalp, even like, you know, like athlete's foot, stuff like that, skin conditions. They're all like typical candida ones.
Yeah.
Whereas like with SIBO, it's going to be more stuff like bloating, constipation. You know, you're not going to respond well to like FODMAPs, so like onion, garlic, banana.
Yeah.
And then mine, if it gets bad, then it can really start like pins and needles, brittle hair and nails, because it's leading just to nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, UTIs, more prone to UTIs.
Yeah.
And energy. Like,
it's crazy. It's so crazy how I think the biggest thing that I learned when I started getting into the gut health world was, you know, most people that probably don't know much about gut health, which was obviously myself, like probably a year and a half ago, I just associated with bloating and stuff like that. I was like, oh, well, I don't bloat, so I'm fine. Like, you kind of don't think that there's so many other symptoms that could be from your gut. You know, things like anxiety, low energy, low motivation, and like you just mentioned, like the pins and needles and stuff like that. If someone had that, they probably wouldn't think it's anything to do with their gut, because they're like, well, I'm not bloating, I'm not intolerant to anything, so there's nothing wrong in that department. And I think the most interesting thing for me was like, your gut health can actually affect so many things, and the variety of symptoms that you can be experiencing could actually be from your gut health. And I see like a couple of things, I can't remember where it was the other day, it's like, oh, my client's like bloating after eating and stuff like that, what foods should she avoid? And it's like, it's not really as simple as that, because it's like, what's driving the bloating? What other symptoms are there? Like, what kind of foods is it? You know, it's not just as simple as not bloating at all. It's like, what's actually triggering that to happen? And that can be a little bit of the hard journey. So with yourself, what did you have to do, or what was the process of healing your gut? And obviously this will differentiate between person to person, but what were some of the main things that you kind of had to work on to actually heal the gut?
Yeah, so it does vary depending on person to person and what exactly is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things will be similar, yeah? So obviously the first stages, which I always talk to my clients through, like the foundations, is like nutritional, like the dietary changes and the supplementation, so this is only a part of it. I think a lot of people get stuck on this because they think it's only about that. So in terms of dietary changes, like what I say to people is like, there is going to be a degree of like restriction. Yeah, you're going to have to change your diet, because it's probably your diet got you in this place in the first place. Yeah, like got you to this position in the first place. So that's just a reality of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, like there was quite a few changes. Obviously, like removing black gluten. Dave actually has a very strict approach to the nutritional side of things.
Right.
So like gluten was a big one. You know, obviously FODMAPs, like trying to go like a lower FODMAP kind of diet.
Yeah.
Even like fructose and lectins, because I had such a damaged gut lining, I just wasn't able to digest them properly.
Yeah.
So then obviously incorporating in some different supplements, because coming from the fitness world, like I did take a huge stack of supplements. Like I probably took the same amount of supplements, but the wrong supplements.
Yeah.
So my immune system was so bad as well, because my gut lining was just destroyed, and 70-80% of your gut, your immune system is modulated by the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always sick. So I was taking like vitamin C, and I was taking like all these mushroom supplements, trying to like not get sick.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I was just putting band-aids on the fact that I wasn't producing white blood cells mm-hmm. in my gut line. So, I had to incorporate some different supplements. Stuff like, you know, zinc, stuff like, you know, magnesium, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And even stuff like magnesium I used to take, but it was in such a low dose. It just wasn't enough. Yeah.
Same.
So like that was the first part of it, but then also the lifestyle side of things as well. So like, you know, first off, like managing emotions and stress as well, because like, this is what I always say to people and I was always passionate about mental health, because mm-hmm. like I come from a history of like, you know, I'd always had depression, like I'd been on antidepressants for 3 years, and then like I really wanted to come off them. So I came off them, but then I started to get really bad anxiety, and then it was just a cascade. Yeah. So who knows when these gut issues started to kind of come into play, but I was passionate about mental health.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're in like a negative mental state, like negative emotions and highly stressed, then that's going to have a negative impact on your gut lining, but on your gut overall, yeah, leading to more susceptible to dyspareas and stuff like that. But when your gut's messed up, it's very hard to have a good mindset as well, yeah, because you've got vitamin deficiencies, like you're struggling to sleep, so it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's like a merry-go-round. So, it's kind of like we need to fix that, but if that's causing you an issue, it's kind of like both, like it's like cat and mouse, isn't it? Trying to chase each other.
Exactly. So I had to do work on that too, like trying mm-hmm. to like manage stress from all forms, you know, focus more on like positive emotions and gratitude. Even moving away from like, you know, it was lucky, like going to Bali, like I kind of distanced myself from like a lot of, you know, negative factors in my life, like partying and
mm-hmm.
like I guess relationships that weren't really serving me well, and you know, that would obviously stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just slowing down life in general, yeah, like just taking it easy, reducing my training, doing more yoga.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of it as well.
I think a lot of people underestimate how powerful like your mind is in relation to, you know, your gut and stuff, or even just your body is and life as a whole. It's like, it's the same with conditions. Obviously we won't touch on too much women's health today, but it's the same with like PCOS and stuff like that. It's like managing stress is one of my main sort of like protocol components is managing stress, because without that it's very hard to continue to heal. And it's the same like you said with the gut, it's like that was such a big part of it for you, and I think a lot of people don't prioritize it enough because they don't maybe think it's as important. It's more like, oh well, if I cut this food out I'll be fine. It's like, well, we kind of have to look at the body as a whole, because you know, your body does work as one. It doesn't work in individual components, which is probably such an important thing to mention. It's like when you go to specialists and stuff, you know, they're only looking at one very small part of the body. When I had skin issues, I got sent to a dermatologist. Never got asked about the foods I was eating, never got asked about my gut, never looked at any bloods, just gave me medication, looked at my skin. And now I look back, I'm like, it's just insane, because they're looking at my skin and nothing else. And it just, we can't look at the body as separate components. It all works together, which I think is such an important part. Like you said, you know, mindset was such a big part in healing your gut. Because they say that the gut's like the second brain, right? Because, you know, your immune system lives in it. It's got such a big role in the body. So let's go into gut symptoms. What do you think are some of the less common gut symptoms that people probably aren't, you know, we know bloating, we know stools and stuff like that. People will probably associate that more with gut health, but what would you kind of say the least common, but the ones that people probably would least associate with gut health?
I think anxiety, definitely. Mm. Like, I've had clients who, you know, just like, I'm just an anxious person, or like, yeah, I just thought I had anxiety for life. Like, that was just me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can definitely relate, like, that I've been down every avenue to try and address my depression and anxiety. But I think that's very commonly overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do correlate like energy issues with their gut, especially when they have problems with energy around after eating, like eating causing fatigue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's just such a common one these days as well, mm-hmm. like low energy. And we've got to remember that, like, with symptoms, so many people we can all get caught in this trap, like, of just masking symptoms. Yeah, why are you bloating, or why do you have the skin condition, or why mm-hmm. do you have low energy? Like, instead of putting a cream on or taking like a pre-workout or whatever, like, going to the core of it, like, why this is a problem.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think they're probably common ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, skin, hair, nails, like, that's something that a lot of females struggle with, like, they usually tie back to the gut and nutrient deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when clients start to get, like, you know, their stomach acid up, they start absorbing zinc and they start getting amino acids and they start getting more collagen in, then their nails start to grow, their hair stops falling out, for starters.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do know that their skin, mm-hmm. like acne and stuff like that, comes back to the gut, because usually these people have already gone down every other route, through like seeing dermatologists or seeing GPs and trying to like get their skin fixed.
Yeah.
But it usually is just a reflection of the internal.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. It's like, I think Jake Dolezal may have said it, but like, your external kind of skin and condition is often a reflection of internal. So if you're suffering with eczema, psoriasis, or even things like asthma, I don't think people associate with the gut. Endometriosis has also been linked with SIBO and things like that. So it's like, a lot of people kind of, you know, you'd look at endometriosis and think of like the ovaries and the uterus and stuff like that, because that's sort of like where the main, I guess, majority of it kind of occurs, like the pain and stuff like that. But we don't kind of link it with the gut health and things like that too. And there is no, like, there will not be a single medication that's gonna more often than not fix all your issues. And it may, like, it probably does have a place in some places. We do maybe sometimes need it for people that's going to help them and stuff like that, depending on what it is. But, you know, I was on like 5 different medications for my skin and nothing helped, and it occurred, like, obviously now I'm like, well, no shit, it didn't help, because the internal problem wasn't actually addressed. It was just like a band-aid to like temporarily stop it. You come off the medication, you go back to get medication because it comes back again, and it's just a constant cycle, really. It's like, if you're not looking at the internal part of your body, then you're probably not gonna be able to help much at all. And we can use bloods to look at gut health as well. So with your clients, I'm guessing you obviously use blood work and symptoms to identify what their main issue may be.
Yeah, definitely. So we always look at like both, like a combination of the blood and the symptoms, because they're like 50, they tell 50% of the story each. Yeah. Like, it's really important to have both of them. I think, you know, stool testing can also be beneficial in some places, but it is expensive and not always necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we look, like, there's different markers in the blood that we can look at. Like, I don't recommend people really doing it themselves, because you've got to also understand that, like, when we're looking at the blood, we're not trying to look at like one marker on its own and diagnose something from that. Yeah, you want to look at like correlation. So that's why, like, we don't want to get into specifics on like markers and stuff like that, but it can definitely tell you. There's some clear-cut patterns that we see when we have, like, we see with SIBO, that we see with Candida, that we see with leaky gut, that can definitely give you clarity in that. And it's cost-effective. Like, I've seen so many people go through like naturopaths, and you know, this is something that I definitely thank Jake for, like teaching us how to like find issues in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, issues the gut in the blood without having to spend thousands on testing before even having to undergo a protocol that's you know, going to be investment in itself.
Yeah, I've seen naturopaths myself, and I love their work and what they kind of do on the functional and holistic side of things. But like you said, it can add up a lot, and you know, you've got to pay for the appointment, which is not cheap, then the testing, then the expensive supplements, and it's like, it's not overly cost effective for someone that may need a lot more attention. Whereas like we kind of, as you said in one of your Instagram posts, like we kind of bridge the gap between a naturopath and a PT. It's like we can do the fitness and we can do the fat loss side of things, but we're also going to look at your health and your gut health and give you supplements if needed. And talking of supplements, that kind of leads me into another conversation. It's really interesting seeing some coaches kind of say, oh, like you don't need any supplements, they're all bullshit kind of thing. In my opinion, personally, they're not bullshit as long as you're buying the right ones. Like, yeah, you know, you can look at the BCAAs and all that kind of commercial kind of stuff that's advertised by influencers, but legit supplements can, in my opinion, completely change your life and also heal your gut as well. And I'm going to guess that you're probably on the same page with that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, at the end of the day, you can definitely see improvements with just doing the nutritional side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the supplements do make or break, yeah. Some, it's just not going to be possible to, like, fix SIBO or get rid of candida or balance candida without using supplements. And I think something really important to like take into consideration here is, like, I remember I did a business coaching, like a business mentorship a while back, and like they said, like, just you're better off saying that, you know, you're not going to give them supplements, because then someone's going to be more likely to buy into your program, because this is ignoring the results side of it. It's not about that. It was about getting them to buy into your program. So that's where, like, I've learned, like, and supplements have had a huge impact on me, and they've had a huge impact on so many of my clients. So it's just no denying. Like,
yeah.
I had a client who, you know, he had a history of partying, he had a history of like alcohol abuse, and he was on the road to fatty liver, and you know, that's going to be, you know, a very severely impacted like lifestyle, like going into the future, and we were able to put that back, and really, we didn't change that much about his diet. We just incorporated some supplements, and were able to, you know, and he felt, I remember he said to me, he felt like he aged in reverse like 10 years throughout the 12-week protocol, which was pretty cool.
So cool.
And it just showed me like the power of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is definitely like with most things that in like, especially the fitness industry, it comes back to money.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many companies out there putting out poor quality supplements, or supplements that are not gonna be ideal for most people, and people can just take one and think that that one supplement didn't work, then all the supplements are a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to dig deeper and to understand the supplements and why, and understand the dosages and the types, because it's nuanced. Yeah, it's important to get it right.
100%. I totally agree with you. And it's like, I always say this on the workshops, you know, supplements are like really important. They're like the cherry on top. So we still need to do the other work. It's not like, you know, you can carry on eating like shit and doing nothing and take supplements and expect to completely like eradicate everything. But it's like, it's still a massive important piece of the pie. It's like the nutrition and the lifestyle stuff is going to come together with the supplements. The supplements are going to be like the cherry on top to complete it. So I think they definitely have a place, and I think they're super important. But nutrition is still such an important aspect of health in general. And something probably a little bit controversial, and I used to believe this myself. So, you know, it's not coming from a place where I've been completely biased. I have actually believed this myself and used to preach it, but no good or bad foods. And I obviously say that in quotation marks, but in my opinion, this is misleading, and I used to preach this myself because I came from a disordered eating background, which is, it's very different to, you know, that's probably not what that person wants to do. Like, I had to go through a stage where I needed to believe that, you know, eating the odd sort of thing wasn't going to kill me because I was too far in the OCD mindset of food. But I also then ended up, because of this no good and bad foods, I ended up prioritizing more like foods that probably weren't going to be that good for me, because I was like, oh, well, there's no bad foods. I can eat whatever I want as long as it's in my calories. And I do think that the phrase is a little bit misleading in the fact that, yeah, it's okay to not think that food's going to kill you if you have it the odd time. But I also think we have to be careful, because this can mislead people into thinking that they don't have to care what they're eating.
Yep. And this kind of ties back to, like, really what I'm trying to do, and I think you're doing the same, and like a lot of new coaches are trying to do, is bridge this gap between health and fitness.
Mm.
Because that is a fitness mindset, when like calories are all that matters. And yes, that's true for weight loss, and that's true for like body composition to a degree, but you know, not fully, but like mainly. And yes, this helps people to get started on a fitness journey and help them maybe lose weight, which could be a step in the right direction for their health. But it's not going to be the complete answer with their health. So like, I think it's really important. Like, and I do feel almost regret, I guess, because I've done the same. And like, I understand, again, this kind of falls back to marketing as well. Like, it's simplified.
Yeah.
People kind of like, oh yeah, that I can do that. Yeah. If I can eat whatever I want. But then I'm seeing on Instagram, like, my partner was showing me this girl's meal plan that she kind of sells. And it's just like, it's you pick your calories or whatever, and it's literally like, you know, Cocoa Pops for breakfast, and then like Kit Kat pancakes, and it's pure junk food. And it's just like, yeah, they're not like, might lose weight, but I guarantee you, like, they're going to be coming back to someone like me or you to help them with their health overall down the track, because you can't get away with like eating like that for very long.
No, and in my opinion, there is such thing as junk food. Like, we can't tiptoe around the fact that there are foods that are going to have no benefit for us. Like, yeah, they probably taste good, and I would be a hypocrite if I said I never ate those foods, because, you know, the odd time I do enjoy it, I'm probably not at the complete level where I won't ever eat them. But 95% of the time, I'm very cautious of what I eat and making sure that it's healthy foods that are going to actually have benefits. Because I remember when I used to just eat whatever, I wasn't even looking at what I was eating. I was just like, oh, well, as long as that fits my calories, then I can eat whatever. Like, and my diet was mostly processed, you know. Wasn't eating much sort of natural foods and meats and stuff. It was all kind of convenience and, you know, things that tasted good because it fit my calories. And I just had no regard for what I was eating. And I feel like if you go too far, like, you can still have a meal and, you know, depending on, obviously, if we're working on gut protocols, like, you may have to have a restricted diet because there are some foods that will further fuel the fire with those gut issues. But, you know, let's just say in general, it's okay, you know, in a general case, if you wanted to have the odd meal. But sort of going too far and saying, well, you can eat whatever you want, it doesn't matter, like, there's no good foods. Well, it's a little bit misleading, because we want to be prioritizing the good foods. Like, we want to be prioritizing the foods that are actually going to benefit us and give us the nutrients. And I used to look at foods for calories, and now I'm like, okay, what's actually going to have the most nutritional benefits? Like, making sure I'm eating a variety of good quality meats to get as much nutrients in as I can, and the beneficial plant foods and stuff like that. So I think it's definitely a big topic, and I think everyone kind of jumps on the bandwagon by saying, you know, oh, well, don't worry about what you're eating, just worry about how much you're eating. Which, as you said, Charlie, like, when we're looking at fat loss, we know that calories matter. Like, we're not saying that calories don't have an impact, because we know that calories do matter for energy balance and stuff like that. But we still have to be mindful what we're eating in those calories. Otherwise, you're probably going to feel like shit, and you're probably not going to, you know, it'll be interesting to see your bloods after 12 weeks of Cocoa Pops for breakfast and things like that. And it's not optimal, really. It's like, you know, and that sells. Let's be honest. Like, that stuff is what sells. It's like, I've noticed this recently, you know, being honest and saying, look, you probably can't drink every weekend, as I posted the other day, and get smashed and expect to be healthy and happy and get results. It's just the realistic expectation. And I think it's so misleading in itself, because it's like, guys, come to me, like, I'll get you the results you want. You can eat whatever you want. You can eat Coke Pops every day. You can get smashed every weekend and I'll still get you fat loss. It's that sells, because people are like, oh, I don't have to change anything and I can still get results. It's like, well, we should be encouraging people to change and actually look at their health, because I feel like it's neglected quite a lot.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And people, like, that's all it does. It just puts people to focus only on the external, and kind of put the internal secondary, and it doesn't work that way. So, and honestly, I've found the majority of my clients, like, I used to focus on the amount first, so you could start seeing weight loss results, like, we focus on their calories and get whatever first.
Yeah.
And honestly, the success rate of weight loss wasn't that great. Like, you know, I would post the best results, but a lot of the time people didn't see great results.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when we focus on quality first, and I push quality hard, and especially, like, the other thing we've got to remember when talking about good and bad foods is, like, it does come down to the state of your gut too. Like, how do you interact with that food as well? Because there's certain foods that, you know, would be, maybe be considered unhealthy, but you'll be able to tolerate them a lot better if your gut's in a better state. You'll be able to tolerate them maybe more often. And there's also foods that would be considered healthy that you won't be able to tolerate well if your gut's messed up as well.
Yeah.
So
such a good important note that I forgot to mention, because it's like a good food, you know, vegetable or whatever, that could still be affecting someone. So it's like, yeah, you know, like you said, a good and bad food will probably be dependent on the person and what actually affects them, which is something super important that I forgot to mention.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Just to finish up, Charlie, I want to just go into a few things that, obviously, you've been through your own gut health journey and things like that. What are some of your health routines, or something, you know, maybe like daily routines that you prioritize, or with nutrition, like, what kind of foods do you prioritize over others, and just your general kind of, I guess, lifestyle routines that you sort of have and that you set for yourself to obviously get the best out of your body and your health?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, like, I've changed a lot since, like, learning about the gut, and, like, I think a lot of my routines probably do tie back to still just, like, maintaining what I've achieved from healing my gut. I don't want to go back to where I was. But I think, like, the main things, meditation, 100%. Like, you know, I'll do some form of meditation every morning. Like,
wow.
And that's to get me into more of a parasympathetic state. Like, it's basically just more into a rest and digest, relaxed nervous system, so that I can basically take... Like, you're going to be able to digest food a lot better in that state. And you're going to be able to just, like, you're going to have lower cortisol, which is obviously going to have a more positive impact on the state of the gut too. So meditation, definitely. And I always say to my clients, like, meditation really is, like, I call it a meta skill. Like, what I mean by that is, like, it's a skill that makes every other thing you do in your life, every other skill you have, better. Like, if you're great at meditating, and you're going to be better at work, you're going to be better in your relationship, you're going to be better in, like, your sport that you play, because it sharpens every other tool. So that's one. In terms of nutrition, like, I do drink a lot of bone broth. I consume a lot of collagen.
Good for the gut lining.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the gut lining is basically made out of collagen, the amino acids that they're really important for, like, basically, it's because it's smooth muscle. So, like...
Yeah.
The way I talk about this is, like, your biceps or your glutes or whatever, they're skeletal muscle, So, like, they respond and they grow from stuff like leucine, like the BCAAs, leucine, isoleucine. Whereas the gut lining is smooth muscle, so that it's going to be better off with stuff like, you know, hydroxyproline, proline, arginine, glutamine. So so I consume a lot of that. I do eat... a more, like, higher fat plant, I mean, meat heavy diet. I'm not against plants. Like, I'm not full. I have been carnivore in the past, but just to try it, but I'm not, like, dogmatic about carnivore. But I think plants might be slightly overrated in a lot of scenarios. And I just feel better when I eat. I still eat some, but, and like you said, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect all the time. Like, I'll still enjoy different things that probably aren't optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, I guess, finding that balance. And I think it's about doing that work so you can do that. Like,
yeah.
If you had asked me 2 years ago, I couldn't have eaten those foods because I would have just been wiped.
Yeah.
Whereas now I can, just in the right amounts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, meditation, diet. My training is like, I don't train like crazy anymore either. Like, I used to train 6 days a week, mm-hmm. probably hour and a half, lifting weights. And then, you know, if I wasn't doing weights, I'd be doing like high intensity workouts, yeah, kind of like CrossFit watts. And anyone who's had SIBO or like anyone who may, you're not sure if they have it, like you'll really struggle with exercise recovery.
Yep.
And that was me, like I'd get DOMS for like a week.
Wow.
And if I don't do these WODs, like I'd be wiped like for 3 days.
Yeah.
I remember one day we did the workout with the PTs and I couldn't go to work that night. Because I was just zapped.
So fine, yeah.
I can do it now, but I just don't do it all the time. So
yeah.
I'll do like maybe 3-4 workouts.
Yeah.
And I'll do more yoga.
Yeah.
So yoga is an awesome one for gut health, just for like basically your vagus nerve, the communication highway between the gut and the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're probably...
Sun,
yeah. I was about to say nature. Like
mm-hmm.
I really do get in nature as much as I can. Like it's hard when you
mm-hmm.
work online, but I go to the beach every morning. Like I'll get in the ocean. I'll try and get on a hike on a weekend.
Yeah.
I'll try and get sun every day.
Yeah.
Which is not specifically for gut health. Like, yeah, vitamin D is helpful, but it does help with sleep and stuff like that, but you'll just feel better.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, definitely. No, like, I try and get sun every single day. And when I lived in England, I genuinely, like, everyone always says, like, oh, you're so privileged. You're from Australia. You get sun all the time. But... And everyone used to call me dramatic because I was like, oh my God, this weather's just making me so depressed. And I was like, yeah, maybe I am dramatic, whatever, like, but it affects me. And when the sun is out and it's blue skies, we're obviously lucky to live on the coast, but even if I didn't live on the coast, just some sun changes your mind for the day. And so many people are like, oh, I can't believe you know, base how you feel off of the weather, like it doesn't really matter. But I feel like it actually does have such a positive impact on your mood. And I make sure I try and get sun like at least each day. And when it's overcast, like it is today, I just feel like sluggish. Like I just feel like, you know, you're just not as like hyped to like go and like do stuff and things like that. So it's super easy to see how, you know, people that don't maybe live in as sunny countries can feel a lot more demotivated. But I also wanted to quickly touch on, you said that previously, you know, when you were like fit and stuff and obviously internally sort of unhealthy, and you used to sort of party quite a bit, or you mentioned, I don't know how much, but you mentioned when you moved to Bali, you kind of moved away from that. What was your life like before it is now? Like, did you find you were partying quite a lot and sort of things like that?
Yeah, like when I lived in Melbourne, and this, I think this was probably a big driver of like, I think there's a lot of factors when people have, like, when they end up with having severe gut issues, like what I had, like there's a lot of factors. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know, diet throughout your life. I had a
mm-hmm.
I had a big stint of antibiotics.
Wow.
And I did drink a lot from like 18 to like 25. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, like even, you know, recreational drug use and stuff like that. And so it did have an impact on how I felt. And like my lifestyle was really like, and it didn't align with me that well.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was go to work in the week, and it was a mess.
Live for the weekend.
PT, like, yeah, exactly. Being a PT, like I didn't work Monday mornings. I'd be working like 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like really like out of it. So I was just tired all throughout the week. On the weekends I would party. I'd sometimes be out till like, you know, whatever hour, like 5 a.m.
mm-hmm.
8 a.m. like,
yeah,
going to festivals and stuff like that. So like, but I wasn't aware of the impact this was having in my health. And this is the thing that kind of scares me about like people, is they're just not aware of like how their lifestyle is going to impact their health. Because I thought, in a way, like, one thing I've learned in life and with health especially, like, there's no free lunches. You can't just get away with, like, You can't get away with like doing the partying that I did, drinking the alcohol that I did, doing the late nights, doing like all these things, eating whatever you want. Like when you say like no food, good foods, bad foods, like, and binge eating as well. Like that, I actually didn't even mention that, but that was a factor for me as well. Yeah, I guess it's hard to really think about what my life was like, but I'm glad that like I always knew I wanted something different, and now it's night and day. Yeah, like now it's crazy to think that like depression and anxiety, this was the biggest thing for me, was the depression and anxiety. And like you said, like I went to doctors, I went to psychologists, I went on medications, never got asked about like what my diet was like, what supplements I was taking, what my weekends were like. So it really is like, yeah, night and day different to think back to where I was then. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes when I'm talking about where I was, I'm like, I actually written it in my phone because like during those nights when I was awake, I was anxious. I was truly, truly like scared for my health. And I've helped seeing clients be in the same position. So I think that is one thing that like is an advantage, I guess, from being there. Having like, you know, being at that point where like you're lost, you're confused and you feel like shit. It's pretty hard, but all I can say is like, yeah, it's hard work to get to where, like get out of it, but it really is worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think the alcohol had a massive impact on your mental health and your life in general?
Yeah, no doubt. Like, no doubt at all.
Yeah.
The
reason I ask is because I really do think that, if I'm honest, that people brush alcohol under the carpet and it's like, yeah, it's legal. Yeah, everyone does it. But I really think that a lot of people probably think it's okay to go out and drink as much as you want on the weekends and then complain during the week that they feel like shit. And it's kind of like, well, you're not really looking at the most obvious factor, in my opinion.
100%. Like, we know that alcohol, like, causes intestinal permeability. So just like gluten would, just like stress would, like alcohol can do that too. We know that it depletes essential nutrients, especially like B vitamins and magnesium, which are obviously going to be essential for mental health. And we know that it has a negative impact on like neurotransmitters like GABA, serotonin and dopamine. Like, and without those three foundations, like without the, like when those neurotransmitters are out, like everything falls apart. No motivation, no happiness, no sleep. Just anxious. So, and it is, it's just a band-aid, and it's a tricky one because there is other factors to it, like as a coping mechanism, as like addictive properties. But we really, especially in Australia, we really need to look at our alcohol consumption as a society, because I do think it is a big driver for a lot of health complications.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's, like, I was going to say this anyway, because I've noticed that the reason why I asked, like, what your background with the partying was, because you said that now your weekends you try and go for, like, hikes and you get in nature and you kind of prioritize, you know, sleep and meditation and daylight and things like that. It just goes to show, like, the big difference between your actual, like, lifestyle routines and your weekends mainly, which is what I wanted to get onto, because I feel like you kind of have to find different hobbies. Like, I really do think that people don't have other, or don't know maybe what else to do, and that becomes such a habit on the weekend, is just automatically kind of like drinking, and because it's a way to be social. Like, it is a way to be social, but I really don't think it's the only way, and I feel like you do have to kind of find other ways to enjoy your weekends without that as well, which I do think can be quite a big thing for some people.
Yeah, it's a huge learning curve, and like, well, not a learning curve, but I guess a social experience curve, in the way that everything does change. You know, you will, it's like I always say to people, like, you got to let people understand, you got to communicate, because it's hard. I know this just comes from my own experience. Like, my friends, they just didn't understand. They didn't understand, like, that I didn't want to, that I just, my priorities changed. Like, I just couldn't continue on the way I was going. Like, my health was so bad that, and it's that's it, what you got to understand. Like, do you want to stay where you're at the moment? Like, the way you feel, continuing the way what you're doing, that's fine if you choose to do that. But if you want to be better, then you're going to have to make some sacrifices, some changes. And there is another life out there. Like, for sure, like I'm not gonna lie, like I had some good times, like mm-hmm. I did enjoy that, and you know, I do feel like in a way, like my friendship groups have changed and connections have changed and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. it's just not sustainable, no. in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely
agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think like you can still have a lot of people obviously enjoy festivals and going out and stuff, which is fine. And then like I've traveled, and I'd be a hypocrite if I said I hadn't as well. Like, you know, when I was traveling and festivals and nights out and stuff like that, like some of them are, you know, good memories. And I still, like, I'm always someone that kind of doesn't go too far, that I still kind of remember everything. So it's not really like I've gone and gotten pissed and I've not remembered anything, especially when traveling, because I was like, I'm not paying all this money to not remember anything. But, you know, like, it was good times, but long term, it's kind of like, well, in general life, if this is your every single week kind of vibe and you're not feeling great during the week, then this is probably something we can look into. And it's really interesting hearing it from your kind of like background of that being you, because I feel like there's a lot of people still in that lifestyle, and then now kind of like changing that and your different views and stuff like that. Do you still drink alcohol now? Is it a once in a time thing, or do you just not have it at all?
I very rarely drink alcohol, and it's to a much lesser extent. Like, yeah. You know, I never drank often. Like, when mm-hmm. I did drink, I would drink a lot. Like, you know, I would go out and yeah. I would, you know, get drunk, basically. But mm-hmm. I was never, like, a nightly drinker.
Yeah.
There was one period of my life when I was, but short period of time. Mm-hmm. But now, like, I do drink alcohol, like, sometimes, mm-hmm. but... You know, I might have one or two drinks. I didn't drink it all throughout my protocol. Like,
yeah.
When I first tried to heal my gut, like, that was a solid 9 months. I think I had one red wine in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now I have the flexibility where I can do it. But like what you kind of talked about, like, you kind of do change what you perceive as a good experience. Like, mm-hmm. now I seek out different experiences. Like, now I'm able to think outside that box of drinking and partying. Like, what other experiences can I have, and how can I have an experience with someone
yeah.
that's not revolving around drinking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you do. You start to go in nature. You start to find different people. You start to, like, connect with other people that you wouldn't, and you do it sober.
Yeah. And there's, like, other ways to enjoy yeah. your time.
Exactly, exactly. If you just get stuck in that box of thinking that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that alcohol doesn't have its benefits. I'm not saying that, like, you can't have it as, and, you know, live in balance with it, but
yeah.
I think we just have what we think that balance is mm-hmm. a bit out of whack of what it really should be, especially exactly. in Australia.
100%. And you know, there's a big difference, and I said this myself to clients. I was like, look, there's a big difference. Like, I'm not telling you to, you know, for some people it is quite a social thing. I'm not telling you to completely cut it out and you never have to drink it again, but there's a big difference between having, like, a glass or two or a cocktail, you know, with dinner on a Saturday night or catching up with friends in a bar or whatever, versus having like 10 to 15 every weekend. Like, that's a massive difference. It's not that you don't have to have it at all. It's just about finding the balance that actually works for you, and, you know, you're still being able to reap benefits of other things. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really interesting to just hear your story and just talk about all things gut health and things like that. Charlie, where can we find you? Website, Instagram?
Yeah, just on Instagram is pretty much where I hang out most of the time. My username is muscle4mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, jump on there. That's where you can find me. Be good to connect. And yeah, appreciate your time, Sophie. Like, really good catching up. And great interview, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Charlie, for joining. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.